I walked away from her. I left her there. And soon after I left her, she had a quadruple heart attack. Or
bypass?
Yes, quadruple bypass.
Wow.
Yeah. And after I left, she had the heart attack. I was gone when she had the heart attack. I guess it was a heart attack. But I seeked help. I went to a mission in Montgomery because once I did straighten up at that same mission, and I got there and I started using drugs and stuff, and I got booted out of there, and me and one of the guys that we both was using, one of the guys that was there, we decided to get a house. We rented a house. We was making pretty good money. And we got the house, and we done good for, we didn't never did do good. We managed for maybe a couple of months. And after that, bills got behind and all that. And my sister bailed me out a couple of times. And after we got kicked out the house, I went to live with my sister. And she set a set of rules on me, like curfew, all that. I thought it was funny.
And you're a grown man. You're like, I'm not going to buy these rules, right?
Yeah. She was like, if you ain't in by 10 o'clock, stay where you at.
Wow.
And okay, I could deal with that because I got a place to live. Okay. One morning, you know, she had told me to stay where I was, don't wake up. So one morning, she was headed to work, and I was sitting on the porch, you know, thinking I'm finna go in and go to bed. And she was like, you don't have anywhere to live.
Wow.
Yeah, you can't come in.
She got sick and tired of it.
Yeah, she got sick and tired of me. So I stayed in the storage house a few nights. It was still kind of cold then. And, but while I was there, I started realizing that I need to get myself together, that this ain't me.
Yeah.
You know, I couldn't find, didn't know anywhere to go or nothing to do.
So when did you become homeless?
In, actually, really in April of 2 years ago, 2022, I actually became homeless. And after that, I stayed in the storage house for a while, and I worked for my brother-in-law. He got a mobile detail business where he go around and wash cars. And so he got this one business where he washed probably 10 cars for the people, you know, the people at work, they in the building working, and we outside washing the cars. And so I was helping him, and it was this one lady had a bottle of liquor on her back seat. And I started sneaking, drinking it. And then I figured, I seen it was a lady. I said, she don't know how much liquor she got. And I started hitting the bottle pretty hard. My brother-in-law never did find out that I was drinking, but me and one of the other guys that worked with him started arguing. We actually got into a little fight. And it was my fault all the time because I was the one talking crazy and out of character. And we was in Prattville. And my brother-in-law knew I had lived in Montgomery. And so what he did when we got ready to leave, he paid me, and he stopped at a service station not far from where I used to hang out at. And when I got out the van to go in the store, he pulled off and left me.
Wow.
So now I'm really homeless now because I hadn't lived in Montgomery in months. And it was still kind of cold then, so I suffered through two nights. I went ahead and spent my money right quick on drugs. I suffered with the cold for 2 nights. And then I said, it got to be a better way. I got to do something. And that's when I decided to go to this mental ward at the hospital and tell them that I...
You admitted yourself?
I admitted myself.
Wow. Was that in Montgomery?
Yes, it was in Montgomery. I don't really think I was suicidal, but I wanted to do something stupid. I just wanted to rest. I wanted my life to change.
Was it a situation where you went there and said, hey, here's a place maybe I could stay for a little while if I just tell them a few things? And
yeah.
You know, maybe I tell them I'm a little crazy right now, yeah, and I could stay a couple of days.
Yeah.
Is that what you were doing?
That's what I was doing. I figured that if I, you know, it's a hospital, that they'll take care of me for a couple of days, because yeah, I was broken then. I was weak, you know, hungry, tired. And
how long did you stay in the mental hospital?
I stayed. They ended up keeping me, you know, because I probably had some issues going on for real. Hmm. But they kept me for about 2 weeks. And as time went on, I really confessed and told them that it was really, I had a drug problem, which left me to be homeless, and I really don't have nowhere to go, no money or anything. And so the doctor, he had recommended a place in Birmingham, but it wasn't any openings. And then he recommended this place here, Downtown Rescue Mission.
So all the way down to Montgomery, right?
Yeah.
And he recommended coming up here, which is about 3.5 hours away, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. So how'd you get up here?
They have a shuttle that bring us up here.
Yeah.
And I got shuttled up here. And I thought about it.
Have you ever been to Huntsville before?
I had, but I didn't know anything about this place. Hmm. I have a sister. My sister went to A&M years ago. Hmm. And by me being a trucker, I had came through. But once I got here, I liked it. I even liked being an overnighter, because it was a place to rest, eat, and a roof over my head. And guys was telling me about this program and stuff, but I was like, a year? No way. You know I ain't going to stay here a year. And ended up, I seen that the guys in the program seemed like some of them was doing pretty good.
Yeah.
You know, they was taking nice clothes, and they was taking showers, and then they had positive things to say. So I checked on joining the program. And I finally got in the program after about 2 weeks. I was overnighter for 2 weeks. But before that, during the time I was an overnighter, I called my sister and asked her to send me some money. You know, all in my mind, I'm saying I'm going to do the right thing when I get this money, because I'm on my own now. I'm a long ways from home. So she sent me $200. She sent me the $200. All I did was go to Walmart, cashed them and got the money order. Well, got the Western Union. I got the $200 from Walmart, and I didn't even come back this way. Mm-hmm. You know, I made it to the gate and met somebody at the gate and went and used up my money. And it was cold that night, and I was like, I got to get in the program. It got to be a better way.
Yeah.
And so I came in that day, and after that, I started checking with somebody about getting in the program every day, because I knew I was through then. I knew my sister wouldn't send me any more money, at least for a while, and I just couldn't live like that.
So let me tell people out there, so at this mission – we have an emergency shelter for men and women that people can come in anytime and stay, whether you're addicted or you're alcoholic, or and you get three meals a day and you're able to stay here and we take care of you, right?
Right.
But you wanted to be, we also have a program, which is a year-long program, and you wanted to be on the program side.
I did.
Yeah. And I always say that sometimes you get sick and tired of being sick and tired. Yeah. Did you get to that point?
I was tired, yeah. Sick and tired. And
you'd run the drug life for a long time.
Exactly. And I hadn't accomplished anything. And just like I say, the directors here, after I got in the program, they was like, you ain't got nothing to lose, you know. And I knew if I learned and studied God's word for a year, I had everything to gain, you know. Just like I said, I got a Christian background.
Yeah.
And it was a great idea, you know. So I got in the program. And at first I was rebellious, you know. They won't let me do this. I can't do that. And
you don't like rules very much.
I didn't like rules, yeah. No, not at all. Uh-huh. And I started to leave a couple of times.
Hmm.
And then when I would think about leaving, I would be like, you ain't got nowhere to go. Yeah, I could hear my sister saying, you don't have anywhere to stay. So I managed to stay. I had my ups and downs, and I did a few things wrong while I was here. And I just thank one of the directors for letting me stay.
When did the program start to click with you, though? You kind of, in the beginning, you were wanting to go and wanted to leave, and, you know, you weren't paying, you didn't like the rules, and you kind of were like, hey, I'm, yeah. When did it start sticking for you?
It started sticking probably in the third step. Hmm. You know, I had said I was in too deep, and then I thought about if I leave, it's like I'm running away from God's word, and I don't have nothing else going on, hmm. So I might as well try to finish now.
Yeah.
And a few times after I made my mind up to finish, I had some problems. But I knew after the third step, during the third step, I knew I wanted to stay and I wanted to finish. You know, I got stuck in the kitchen. I thought that, you know, they didn't like me. That's why I got to work in the kitchen for 7 months. But found out the same director that told me that I didn't like him. And I stepped to him one day, and I told him, I said, it's time for me to get a job change. I've been in the kitchens for 7 months. And he said, no, not until your attitude change. You'll be there.
That sounds like Adam.
It was.
Yeah, it sounds like Adam.
So when he told me that, I walked away from him, and I stepped back to him. I was like, you just don't like me. And he said, you know what, Leroy? I like you. He said, if I didn't like you, you won that would have been gone. You done broke every rule.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I was like, I thought my slates was pretty clean. He called me in his office, and he started telling me some of the stuff that I had done that I didn't even know he knew.
Hmm.
And so I said, you know, that guy, he was right. He liked me.
You know, my mom used to tell me, she said, make sure your sins will find you out, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's Bible.
So, you know, I love it. You grew up in a Christian home, but had a struggle in the middle of your life, and now you've come to the mission, and you've turned over a new leaf. Right, you've gone through the year program. You rededicated your life to the Lord, and
Amen.
You know, graduated the program. And now, what does life look like for Leroy now?
Tell the truth, I try to stay grounded, keep God first, but I really believe my future is bright.
Hmm.
You know, I give God all the glory, all the credit, because I came a long ways. I didn't even have a driver's license. I didn't have a job. Technology got it now where, you know, I ain't even knowledgeable enough to do applications online. And I had guys to help me through God to fill out applications to get jobs. And I did a lot of praying, and I still do a lot of praying. And I just give God credit for all the little success I had.
Amen.
And it was really him, because I managed to get a car. I didn't have good credit for real, you know, and I got a bank loan like it was nothing, you know, and stuff like that. I just,
now, Leroy, I just got to, this time you got to pay the bill, though.
And I got to pay this time. Exactly. That's right. And that's why I know it was God, because I never paid for anything.
Yeah.
You know, never paid for nothing.
So what are you doing work-wise right now?
Right now I work as a custodian at Boeing's.
Okay.
And I plan to do that until I can save enough money where I can go to school to become a trucker again.
You want to do trucking again?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
And I figure that if I could save a couple of months, payment up on my car, and that would give me time to go through a 30-day school.
Yeah.
And then get my CDLs, and hopefully we can move on.
So future's looking bright.
It is.
So if you sitting here, and how old are you now?
I'm 57.
At 57 years old, and you could go back and talk to that 13-year-old Leroy, what would you tell him?
Don't do drugs.
Yeah.
I wouldn't do drugs, and I would try to keep my relationship with God if I could go back. Yeah.
How is your relationship with your family now that you passed
away? My relationship with my family is great.
Yeah.
It better than I can even remember.
Yeah.
Because my mom and dad and grandmama, all of them gone now. And my sisters, I knew they always loved me, but we didn't have a relationship where we could talk and family events and stuff like that. And now all of that them started back.
Were they happy when you graduated the program?
They was happy they came to see me graduate, and they supported me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I bet you that getting that diploma that day meant something to you.
It did.
You know, you still wear your ring, by the way?
I have got your ring on now.
Yeah, he's got his ring. And that's one of the things, everybody that graduates program gets a ring, right?
Yes. And I feel like this was a big accomplishment for me.
Yeah.
Because just like I say, I was rebellious, and I never finished anything. And I did finish this, and I didn't think I would. And I don't regret it, none at all.
So how are you going to let Jesus work through you to be a better testimony for everybody else? Because right now you've got a great testimony to tell people, hey, listen, the past is the past, and you can change your life really through Jesus Christ, right?
Amen. And what I do is I try to stay grounded and stay conscious of God. You know, I made it a habit in third step to get up and read my Bible every morning. It's the first thing I do. I ain't going to say I comprehend a lot. I get a lot of revelations. But I do that first every morning. I try to stay conscious of God and Jesus as the day proceed. I will step out of line every now and then, but a lot of times I realize it. And I think the best thing for me, if I could just keep my mouth quiet in a lot of situations, I'd do a whole lot better. And I ask God to change my heart. Yeah.
So I know you had some battles with Adam through the year that you were there, right?
I did.
Yeah. So, but you know he loves you, right?
I do.
Yeah. And he can be tough, right?
Yeah, he can.
But part of that tough is about being tough love, right?
Yeah.
And Adam's whole heart is to really show guys about Jesus Christ. And Well, I love that you went through the program and were successful. And I love the path that you're on because, I mean, you got a solid job.
I do.
And you're wanting to save up some money. And then, hey, I want to do something more. I want to go back into trucking and I can make some good money there. And so with doing that, the jobs and stuff, where do you see yourself in 5 years from now?
5 years from now, I don't know whether I'm supposed to say this, but I did meet a lady that she's grounded in Christ. I would like to get my CDLs and get a job at Boeing's driving trucks. And then during the time, pay my calls and maybe get a loan for a house. And I see that. That's some of the goals, if it's God's will. I plan on getting a house, getting married.
Yeah.
And we hope it can happen in the next year.
That'd be great.
But that's my long-term goal. I do plan to marry.
And your new lady's all on board with that?
She's on board with it. She's strong in Christ. You know, I wanted to ask some questions about Seventh-day Adventist. Is that a good religion to follow?
Sure. Yeah, there's Christian folks in Seventh-day Adventist for sure. Yeah, she's Seventh-day Adventist.
She is.
Yeah. And there's a church right up on the hill here that people go to. Which one are you going to?
I haven't been to church with her yet.
Okay.
But because I work on Sundays.
Yeah.
But I plan to stop all of that too in the future.
Yeah.
You know, I haven't been with her, but I do attend.
Here's what I would say about any religion that's Christian. As long as they center themselves on Christ and that's where their salvation comes from, it's okay, right?
Yes.
Because there's nothing else. It's not something that you do or it's not a work that I do. But if we put our faith in Christ and we accept him as our Savior, that's the key.
That's the key.
So, so for you, boy, it's been a journey, right? And if you hadn't found a mission like this mission or good people to invest in you, where do you think Leroy would have been if you were still on the same path you were 2-3 years ago?
All I could say, Brother Keith, is death. You know, that's all, because I really had kind of gave up. You know, a year ago, I never dreamed I would be sitting here feeling as good as I feel now.
You look good, too.
Thank you. But for real, I really had kind of gave up, you know?
Yeah.
You know, I was down to 130 pounds, and I didn't know no way out, you know? I knew God, but I just didn't feel like I could get stable enough for him to work for me again.
Yeah.
You know? And
so you think that if you had continued on that path, that you would either messed up in drugs or, you know, and maybe even passed away, right? I mean,
that's what I say. Yeah. I would be, I can't see nothing but death because I ain't the lockup type person.
Yeah.
I ain't going to do nothing to go to jail.
Yeah.
I ain't going to try not to. But all I can see is death. I know my health probably deteriorating and I've been doing it long enough where I could basically get it when I got ready and do it like I wanted to. And I was destroying my life.
Yeah. But the great thing about when we have God in our lives, when we truly are following what Jesus asked us to do, is that we can have a new life in him. And so, you know, it talks about old things are passed away and all things become new. Amen. He can even make all those things that you had with issues with your drugs and alcohol, he can heal your body of that too, right?
Amen.
And
so, I believe.
And listen, I like a little bit of rock and roll myself, and there's some 70, 80-year-old rock and roll guys that did drugs their whole life, and they're still alive. So I don't know what happened with them.
That's right.
But Leroy, I love your testimony. I love that you're here and that you were able to go through to really change your life and maybe change it forever because you were on a path that, for yourself, you were even ended up in a mental institution where you're like, hey, I'm so bad off. I got to do something different, right? Yeah. Exactly. And so I thanked that guy that was down there at that hospital and said, hey, you need to go see Downtown Rescue Mission because they could help
thank
you.
Thank him, too.
Yeah. So would you say anything out there to the audience about, you know, if they're in an addiction or if they're having any problems in their life, what would your advice be?
You know, I would say, you know, seek God first. Hmm. You know, I had a problem with it, but that's one thing I can say. This place was helpful to me because it grounded me. I stayed grounded until I could see God at work in my life. So if you're out there using drugs, living in sin, you know, don't give up. God is always with us. Mm-hmm. He always be there. And bottom line, God, Jesus, he died for all our sins, and he can make everything right.
Yeah.
Again.
That's right. Well, Leroy, this has been a great episode of Stories of Hope, and thank you for sharing today. I know you were nervous in the beginning, but once we got going, you were pretty good, right? Felt all right about it?
Yeah, I'm pretty good.
See, we'll have to have him on weekly now because, you know, he's got the expertise now. But, Leroy, thank you for coming and showing, telling your story to folks out there. And just and why we do these podcasts is we want to inspire other people that they can change their lives. Yes. And that they can have something different. They don't have to keep going into the muddle and muck that they're in their lives right now.
Amen.
And so thank you so much. This has been another episode of Stories for Hope, or Stories of Hope. And listen, we thank you so much for watching. And this is another episode from the Downtown Rescue Mission.